Third reference.
Two as two.
Fourth reference.
Four as four.
Fifth reference.
Eight.
Sixth reference.
Three.
Alright. Now. There are days when you want to split your variance. This is probably not one of them, I know I didn't split it. The most reliable of all of these class levels, when you're working on a variant, will be your claiming races. The reason for that is that these horses have sorted themselves out as far as value and talent. If a horse is running for 12.5, he probably belongs at 12.5. On the other hand, a maiden race and a non-winners of one might contain Blackjack Road, might contain Secretariat, for God's sake. It could contain anything. Maiden races are the same way. So the ones you want to really look at and give yourself an edge with in terms of your variant is this one. You'll say that that's probably a reliable type race.
Which one?
Well, the first one's a $12,500 claiming horse.
Right.
And sometimes you'll see a horse dropping from 20 to 12.5. Well, you may want to use the 25. Just use common sense on these things. We'll make this fast, or we'll kind of check that as being one of the races we want to use in our variant. Now this race, the third race, it's fast two, that's comprised of a bunch of three-year-old fillies. And there can't be anything more unreliable at Santa Anita than that bunch. Okay? But we'll hold that fast two as part of the variant process, but we wouldn't want to key on it. The fourth race, the maiden claiming race, right? Well, that's marginally better than the third race, as far as making the variant is concerned. We won't throw it out, but we wouldn't want to, you wouldn't want to hang the rest of your bets from this day on that. Now let's look at Blackjack Road. This guy wins by 8. He runs 108-3, and it looks like he's never tested. Now one of the ways to bring these things down into reality is to cut the beaten lengths on these horses to about what the norm is. Does anybody know what the average beaten length is? Use two. Two. Therefore, had this horse won by two, this eight would be fast five, am I right? Which is a little more realistic. Alright, so you got a fast eight, and you got a fast five to work from. And since you've got a fast four here, a fast two, fast four, fast five is a little more in line with that. The variant like this. This actually, I don't know how well you're following it and how difficult it seems, but when you're doing this, what we've done so far is easy. The judgment calls, things like that become difficult, but for going into these races and finding horses to watch in exceptionally strong races, it's a piece of cake. When you're having to live with your variant afterward, as far as making a number from it that you're going to bet from, then it gets a little trickier because you can't leave this one hanging out in left field. You've got to resolve all of these, the eight versus the two. You've got to resolve that. Now, I resolved that to a four. It is a four for that day. But it's fast four, fast six. This is a typical pattern. If it's fast four here, it's quite often fast six. If it's fast three, it's quite often fast five. Two is often fast three. It's kind of what you get to look at. Yes?
Why would routes be faster than turns?
Because the track, when the track is fast and if it's carrying speed, continues to carry speed even better the further you go. When the track is slow, you get them like this. Because if the track is slow and tiring, the further you go, the more you begin to bog down.
Compounds itself.
Both ways. And so often you'll see fast four, fast six. Prove it to yourself by getting, the next time you get a hold of the digest, the racing digest, go to the back pages. The back pages, they list the variants against the horses. And you'll find that most times you'll see like plus 7 in the sprints, like plus 10 in the routes. It's just a, just the way it runs. It's the way it happens.
Do they do the same way you're doing?
No, they do a little differently. They compound one of the fractions. I think it was the third fraction, if I'm not mistaken. But they also project their variance, too, which is what I do. That's not what we're doing here, but that's what we do. But it's four, fast four, fast six. Write that down. Go to lunch. Eat lunch. If you have any questions when you come back from lunch, bring them up. We'll deal with it, and then we'll go in and play with these races. Joe? Here's the loop.
The first fraction is 2.1. The second call is 1.58. The third fraction is 1.02. We have to add or subtract to each one to it.
Yeah.
You have to be careful to change your third fraction from.
Yeah, convert it to 5/16. Yeah. I don't ask how we did that because that's not what we're here for, but can you want to write it down and then ask somebody afterwards? That's what I don't want you to ask. Write it down and then you can ask somebody. We had a class on it. And I don't want to interrupt Tom's time because he takes long enough as it is, but I'm stretching it.
I have a little program in my
piece of
regular track before I don't have it working anymore.
Great, we'll put it in the follow-up. But it really, we did it. A lot of times we present stuff, it's really dynamite. Everybody loves it, and then they go away and forget it the next week, and then they say, how do you convert routes to
sprints? What happens is, once in a while, you'll find a super long work going in my own state, and it'll show a fixed line like 5x4 lengths, and 4x3 lengths, 4x3 lengths, whatever. And you look at that race, and it doesn't seem like it's going to move very much. However, when you use this, what wind up being...
Now it's me. When we last left Tom and Mabel, they were arguing in the dining room. Tom made a suggestion, why don't we all go to lunch? When they came back from lunch, they lived happily ever after, and here is the end of the story. Tom Brooke.
Yay! Don't say anything clever yet.
Don't worry.
That's
John,
easy for him, yeah, I know.
Ooh.
This is my favorite part, right?
Tom gets to touch me?
Touch me in the morning.
Once you're a little touched.
Oh, wait, I can just use this right here. It was just there.
Keep him alert.
Go to your room.
Okay. We decided, now that we've messed up my board again, has everyone written this down?
No.
That wants it?
No.
That's a qualifier. 2.10, 1.58, 1.02. Okay. I think somebody's going to show you how to use that later.
Also.
Yeah.
Okay. I know how to use it. Here we go. What the variant we made before lunch? We said that the track was on March 9th, fast four in the sprints, fast six in the routes. Now this is, after you've done it a few times, this is not as difficult as it appears. You get used to it, and no one's asking you to make variants on a daily basis that you have to live with when you bet. This is for those of you that want to be able to make your own horses to watch list and get a feel for how strong or how weak some of these races were. We spent a little time on that this morning because there were a number of people that really do want to do this. For those of you that haven't got the time to do that, that are taking my variants, and I'm already doing it for you, don't worry about it. Because some of the races we're going to look at here won't require a variant, but there will be things associated with some of these races that you can pull out of the results charts on a daily basis. For one thing, the race that we just looked at, that we took pointedly from, and we took Sarah's Town from. We never did judge how fast or slow that race was. We just judged that Sarah's Town ran very well in that race, worked out to a mile after the race, and should be a horse to watch. We looked at Pointedly, who was, once you adjust some of these cars, you realize the class jump that that three-year-old filly was making from a three-year-old claiming race into a non-winners of one older, well, it was younger males, but nevertheless, the par is the same as the older. So that horse was jumping from a three-year-old claiming race for fillies into a non-winners of one. Folks, that's a huge jump, and she performed very well in it. And when she comes back against non-winners of one fillies, she's probably going to be really tough. But you didn't need anything you couldn't have taken right out of the charts tomorrow without making a variant or anything else. So we'll finish the variant process and look at the races we've already looked at. If you decide not to adopt that play, that's fine. Let's look at the first race on March 9th. Has everybody seen this book that wants to, the Mike Loomer book?
No.
Okay, I'll leave it here. You take a look at it a little while. If you look at it now, I won't have you for the next half hour. The first race. We said that that race was Fast Four Raw, wasn't it?
Right.
We also said the track was Fast Four overall. Where does this leave us with this first race?
Zero,
right? Par. That was a par race for 12 fives. Now, when you get a par race, you want to look at that kind of a race. The simple reason that any horse that performed well was nearly almost matched par for that level. So next time out, against 12-5 horses, that horse is par or very close to it and would be a contender in its next start at this level. Take a look at Rainbow's Cup in that race. Now, Amazing Courage isn't going to do you a whole lot of good because chances are it'll be at 16 next time and it matched the 12-5 par, right? That means going in, it's a length short of what it has to be in a $16,000 race. The chances are, in a 16 race, you get horses dropping from 20 and 25 also. So Amazing Courage isn't going to do you a whole hell of a lot of good. But Rainbow's Cup, on the other hand, is liable to be right back in for 12-5. Now here's a horse that was coming off of a layoff that extended back to May 19th. Can everyone find it where that's true? Okay, I just want to make sure we can all read the charts together, right? Hasn't run since May 19th. And the chart here says that the horse was always prominent, and a key to this is that it finished willingly. Now, this observation is made by the chart maker, or track man, at the racetrack. And in Southern California, we are blessed. The chart maker here is a fellow by the name of John White, and he is the best in the country. And so when he says that this horse finished willingly, that horse came back well. And since this race wasn't lights out, in other words, this race wasn't a fast two, fast three, where this horse really had to perform big and might have taken too much out of it off that layoff, this horse just ran a nice comeback race. And I would add Rainbow's Cup to my horses to watch list if I were you. Now, this is on my list, but I did not send this out on the horses to watch list to clients because the horse may be routing next time. Doesn't quite match the par for the 12-5s. I prefer to invest on this on my own if the horse is in the right spot. But I'm suggesting to you to put it on your horses to watch list. This kind of a horse. Now, out of the same race, there's another possibility as a long shot play. And that's a horse called Onogamo. And Onogamo was coming off of a similar layoff, is a rounder, not a sprinter to start with. And the chart says the horse was wide down the back stretch and then four wide into the stretch. Now, this is strictly a tune-up race for this horse. And if you add up the beaten lengths, it wasn't beaten all that badly, somewhere in the neighborhood of three. And then I'll share a little insight with you. Last year, when they brought Onogamo back, it needed one sprint and then won its next start in a row. So Onogamo ought to be on that list. If it's in the right spot, routing, it's probably a pretty good play. Last year it required just one sprint prior to a win in a rout. Let's look at the second race.
What was the closing of the premier?
What was that?
The premier closing.
Premier always closes. Okay? This is not, look at where Premier was at the quarter. Look at where Premier was at the half. 11th at the quarter, 10th at the half. I have never in my life added a horse with that running style to my horses to watch list. Never. Because he doesn't route. I mean, that's something I know about the horse. He doesn't route. He's a late running sprinter. So it won't do you any good to figure he closed well here that he'll close better in a mile. He flattens out. And so he's out. And he's been running. So he's still 2 lengths below the par. He's been running. The two horses off the layoff are the two to look at here. Look at the second race. What did we say that race was?
Fast five.
What was the variant?
Fast cool.
No. This is a Robin.
Fast six.
So where does this race leave us now? What quality of this race?
Slow one.
I'd like you to talk in terms of fast and slow, but I know what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
Did I sound like Schmidt that time? Oh, okay. This race is slow one. From the part-time chart, from what we talked about earlier, what do you suppose is the slowest, weakest class level at Saturday and Hollywood Park in Del Mar? What do you think it might be? Maiden 32s for females. There's no lower level. There is no lower level. Okay. And this race is slow one to boot. Now, if you see a horse in here that broke slowly, made a move four wide, did this three wide, moved into the stretch, checked repeatedly, ignore it anyway. I'm serious. Now, if that happens in a race that was fast two or fast three, and a horse had that kind of trouble and performed well, then you take a long look at it. But in this race, I mean, this ought to be the snare-all cap here instead of the big cap, because these are slugs. These are snails, and you don't care how they perform. Yes?
I really don't want to bring you back to the first race, but
then I won't
as I go on, I'll stuck right here. Why would you consider
Stand Up
Trust as a horse to watch in
that
first race?
A horse, let me look at it for a minute. Beaten 3 lengths. The horse is a sprinter to start with. The horse was able to clear the field, and then Rainbow's Cup ran right on by. Chances are Rainbow's Cup and Silent Trust would be in the same field next time. The race was par, so Rainbow's Cup is only 1 length off the par off of his comeback race. Silent Trust, on the other hand, is 1.5, 2.5, close to 3 lengths off the par and was clear at one time in this race and couldn't continue. Okay. Sure. Now, let me add one other thing. Now, had this race been fast five, I'd probably work my way down and consider the first 7 horses, as a matter of fact, within about 3 lengths of one of them. I'd work my way down through that process and find out who was a router, who was a sprinter, who did well, and so on. But this race was just par. So you need a little something extra. And like I said, neither of these horses went out on my horses to watch list, the clients. Mainly because God knows where Ono Double will come back. And I have no idea where Rainbow's Cup will come back, but I have both in my own book. And if they come back right, I'll win. Second race, ignore that kind of a race always. Look at the third. Marginally better than the second race is a field of $25,000 claiming 3-year-old filly. Because generally speaking, when a horse wins a maiden 32, a filly, 3-year-old, they wind up in this race here. So it can't be a whole lot better. And this particular race is slow too. Now, there'd be no percentage in looking at this, because even if you pull a horse out of here, the horse is really up against it, against the par field. So we'll ignore the third race and say that just culls. The fourth race now contains a horse that we can add to a horses to watch list. Look at this race now. This is a par race when we're finished with it, right?
Right.
Okay, it was fast four. The track is fast four. So it winds up a zero. Everybody know where I got to the slow two in the previous race, right? We said the race was fast two. The variant was fast four. Okay, I made that leap without bringing everybody along. The fourth race. Last day, look at him here. Now, this is a par race, which means that the first two finishers virtually matched par, which says that if you put together a field like this tomorrow, last day is already run a race that would win this race. Most of the time. And if you read the running line, last day, outrun early, and wide down the backstretch after he failed to get away in good order, emerged as the main danger at the furlong marker, and then understandably could not run down that opponent in the last furlong. Now, that's a significant try in a race that was par. This horse had all the worst of it. Now, unfortunately, I added to my horses a watch list. I would definitely do that. And if you want to look down at the bottom, and if you're any kind of a believer in trainers and things like that, this is William Spar. He wins a lot of races, he said. The negative to this guy is that he was 3-2 in here. And he may have been, you'll have to see the past performances next time he runs, because perhaps he's been 3-2 before and couldn't get it done. That you have to be the judge of that next time. But the race here, this is the kind of horse you're looking for a horse to watch. So add last day, but then consider him next time he runs. But he would definitely be off of this performance a horse to watch. Now here's the fifth race. The fifth race, non-winners of one, we said was fast eight, right? When we're finished with our variant, which was fast four, that leaves this race where?
Fast four.
Fast four. Take a look just a moment. The race was running 108-3, and we said the race was fast four, or the variant was fast four. What does it make this race if you were to adjust the final time by the variant? It would be 109-2, wouldn't it? Because if the track was four fast, and you adjust this time by that four fast, that brings the race 109-2. Now let's do something together. Go to the par type chart, which is the whole reason you've got it. Look up 109-2 and tell me what class level that belongs at.
Class level.
109-2 belongs as the race it just won. It earned the equivalent of a classified allowance performer, right? Now it won, and now winners are one. Where would you suppose Blackjack Road appears next time? Probably. No, probably not when it's a two. They'll probably take it because it's their winning form.
Okay.
It will probably be in a non winner's a two. Now, it'll probably be bet. But you look for triple singletons, you look for pick six singletons, there are things like that, too, at the game. Huh? Would Blackjack Road be tough in a non winner's a two?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he be borderline cinch? I mean, if he repeated this race, he would be a six, you know, that one is a two. If he doesn't, regress off the race. That is clearly the kind of horse that's the ideal horse you're looking for in a horse to watch. Now, unfortunately, he's trained by a guy that trains quality horses, and this race is pretty hard to escape. I mean, it's when the track is slow forward, you can adjust it the other way, but these things are hidden. When a track is fast, everybody sees the 108-3. So this is the hard way around it. The process actually works better when you're coming from the other direction and can promote the race. Blackjack Road is definitely a horse to watch. And back in the race, if they were to do what Jay said, they were to take this horse and move him up to Golden Gate Fields or somewhere else like that for one of these minor sprint stakes if they run around the country, this horse, I would call the turf account if I had one. And just play it. Just playing. In fact, that would be the greatest move you could make because then you might get a decent price on the guy.
Excuse me, Tom. Yeah. One question about when we cut arbitrarily cut his winning margin. What you threw the question out to the, and I think it's the way you phrased it, threw it out to the group. What's the winning margin? The average winning margin at the Santa Anita? Was that right?